Bible's 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. We're on the wrong slide there, Brother Phil. Did I send you the wrong one? Okay, that's all right, brother. No, sometimes it's me that's made a mistake. Hey, Brother Lopez, sister, good to see you guys. How you doing? You guys doing well? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're excited. Thank you, my brother. Yes. The question that came to me tonight was, we got a praise come in online tonight. Praise God that Brother Jerry White was able to come home from his deployment safely with FEMA. And so praise God for that. He remained safe while serving the Lord. Serving our country with FEMA. So praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Question came in, preacher, because we've been covering, how do you tell somebody, that God exists, besides when they don't believe the Bible? And we talked about that. And then we talked about, the Trinity. How do you explain the Trinity? And we talked about that. And then we talked about, how do you know the Bible's true? And how do you know you've got all the right books? I had a couple of questions come in online about folks that went to a funeral or to a wedding, and folks the church they were at was quoting out of like the book of Tobit and the book of Judith and the Maccabees and things. And how do you know you've got the right books in the Bible? Because there's other books that are contemporary with some of the writings in the Bible. And so we talked about that. And so tonight I want to talk to you about, how do I know the devil exists? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know the devil exists? How do you know he's not the figment of your imagination? How do you know he's not some story made up to make children behave? Take your Bible, 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8 and verse number 9. Look at it now, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8 and verse number 9. Be sober. That's not talking just about being, not drinking, although that's a good thing. Don't drink alcohol. Beverage alcohol is liquid stupid. Don't turn your mouth and your throat into a sewer. Stay out of that stuff. But that's talking about being sober-minded. It's about being serious. Be vigilant. That means be on guard. Why? Because your adversary, and you do have an adversary, brothers and sisters. You have three of them. You have the world, the devil, and your flesh. Okay? You have three adversaries. You have three enemies that fight against you. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now, I love that. We're going to talk about this a little deeper here in just a second. You don't have to whip him, all right? You don't have to whip him in a fight. You just have to resist him. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You're not the only one that's had to fight him. You're not the only one that's gone up against him. You're not the only one he's messing with. Do you understand the words I'm saying? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, please, tonight, give us understanding. Father, there's so much misinformation out there that sounds spiritual and sounds logical, but is not scriptural. Help us tonight as your people, Father, to see the truth from your own word and to write it upon our hearts and to embrace it because it is true, as we've seen in the past couple of weeks. And Father, to embrace it as truth, and God, to know it and to claim it and to follow your path to victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you're in 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. Now, I want you to understand, you and I, one of the lies the devil tells us is, you got to know everything before you can talk about it. No, that's not true. What you need to know, and the only thing you need to know, is laid out here in verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. This is 1 Peter 3. That's all you got to know. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Set God as first in your life. Sanctify, set apart. That's what the word sanctify means. To set apart as holy, set apart as important, set apart as hallowed. Make God the most important thing. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Because if it's in your heart, it's going to be first. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you. And see, that's where your fear comes in. Because you think that's where the story ends. You think that's where the sentence ends. I got to know everything. No, that's not where it ends. Give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Meekness meaning with, your emotions are under control, and understanding. Fear meaning understanding the gravity of the situation, understanding that this is an important conversation. Don't be flippant about it. Because you have something the world doesn't have, and that's hope. This world does not have hope. this world. The science, as we've talked about, cannot answer the big questions in life like, who am I? How did I get here? Where am I going when I die? What is my purpose? Science cannot answer those questions. Philosophy may try, but they have no absolute truth or standard of truth. Nobody agrees on it. So there's no, it depends who you talk to. No, the Word of God tells us that you matter, that you are a special creation of God Himself. And as long as you draw breath, you have purpose. You may not be fulfilling that purpose, but there is a purpose God has for you that's bigger than you, that is of a grander nature, and God wants you to fulfill it, and God has given you everything you need to fulfill it. And you don't, so all you have a hope beyond yourself. You have something, you're part of something bigger. And so you need to, so step one, set God apart in your heart as first place and be ready to tell folks about the hope you have in Christ Jesus. But preacher, people ask me questions about the Bible and I don't know what to say. Well, turn toward the front of the book just a few more pages and get ahead of the book of Hebrews and you'll find 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 15, it's just ahead of Hebrews. You'll find 2 Timothy chapter 2. How do I find out, how do I get ready to answer these questions beyond just the hope I have in eternal life? Now, I'll tell you the truth, hope in eternal life is more than most people got. But for other folks that are struggling with things, 2 Timothy 2:15 has the answer. Look at that first word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says study. Study. If you'll read the Bible will teach you. All the answers to life's questions are found in principle, type, or in direct reference in the Bible. You say, well, the internet's not in the Bible. Yes, but how to handle information is. Cars are not in the Bible. Yes, but how to handle modes of transportation and resources and capital purchases and how to handle money is in the Bible. Study to show thyself approved. Look at that. Unto God. The word approved means tested by fire. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that last phrase is important because the devil knows the Bible. He was there when it was written. Remember how he tempted Jesus and used it on Jesus. And the devil's smart, as you're going to see. Now, I believe the devil exists because the Bible says so. In Genesis 3 is the first reference. It refers to him as the serpent. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Jesus said that the devil existed, Luke chapter 10 and verse number 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Jesus saw it. Jesus saw Satan fall. Why? Because Jesus is God. Peter, as we just read, the apostle Peter said that Satan is real. So the names of Satan in the Bible, you'll find Satan, that's his name, Job 1. You'll find him listed there with his name. By the way, the book of Job is the oldest or the piece of scripture written. It was written before Genesis. Job lived about the time of before Abraham. And so in Revelation 9, I'm going to do this in alphabetical order. Satan's name is Abaddon, the destroyer in Revelation 9. He's the accuser of the brethren. That's one of his names. Revelation 12, he's the adversary, 1 Peter 5. He's the angel of the bottomless pit, Revelation 9. He's Apollyon, Revelation 9. He's Belial, 2 Corinthians 6. He's the devil, Matthew 4. He's the great red dragon, Revelation 12. He's the tempter, Matthew 4. And he's the old serpent, Revelation 12. Those are his names. His titles are Beelzebub, or the prince of the devils, Matthew 12, 24. He's in charge of all the devils. John 12 and verse 31, Jesus refers to him as the prince of this world. When Adam sinned, he abdicated the authority over of this world to Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is referred to as the God of this world. The God of this world. So as you read the Bible, you're going to find out that he is mentioned directly. Look at 2 Corinthians. Well, we're going to look at that in a minute. I'll tell you what. So that's his names, and those are his titles. Let's look at his tactics. I believe the devil's real because I believe he's alive because I've seen his power. His deception is he tries to hide his existence. But 7 of the Old Testament books reference him. 19 of the New Testament books refer to him. So let's look at his story. Go to the Old Testament and go to the book of Ezekiel. Go to the book of Ezekiel. I want you to see who you're dealing with. Ezekiel chapter number 28. This is a double reference to Satan and the Prince of Tyre. The Prince of Tyre was so, or Tyrus, King Tyrus was so wicked. I believe he was indwelt by Satan. But I want you to see this. This is a double reference to Satan. Look at Ezekiel 28 and verse 11. 28. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum. Look at that. That means he is the most full of wisdom. That means Satan is the most intelligent being God ever created. Now, you need to let that sink in for just a second. Well, what about Jesus? Jesus is the creator. He's not tougher than Jesus. Jesus is God, okay? Nobody's smarter than God. But I want you to understand, of all the beings God ever created, Satan's the smartest. Perfect in beauty. That means Satan is the most beautiful creature God ever created. You need to grasp this and let that sink in a minute. Remember, one of the ways you can pass a lie off is desensitize people to the truth of it. I mean, we watch all these silly TV shows on cable about, you know, like Supernatural and all this stuff. Lucifer, they got that TV show where he's helping some cop solve crimes. You know, I mean, there's all these crazy shows where I've even seen documentaries on the History Channel where they rewrote history, and he's the light bringer. He's the one who brought knowledge to mankind. He's so benevolent. And of course, the Catholic Church has rewritten him and made him and vilified him. No, he's the enemy. He hates you. You understand me? This is how it works. He cannot hurt God, but he can hurt the people God loves. And that hurts God. So he hates you. The Bible says that the angels, the good and the bad, they look, they're like children looking into a toy store. They see our salvation, the fact that God forgave us. And the Bible says the angels look in and they don't understand how we're forgiven, past, present, and future, and now made children of God, joint heirs with God. They don't understand. He is the smartest being God ever created. He's the most beautiful. It goes on in verse number 13 and says, thou hast been in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and the gold. It was beautiful. Satan is beautiful. He's not ugly. He's not somebody with horns and a pitchfork and a red tail. And he's beautiful. Incredible. The workman of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day in which thou wast created. He's the most talented creature God ever created. He was in charge of the heavenly music. Pipes and tabrets are musical instruments. Isn't it interesting how Satan uses music to enslave and to indoctrinate today? Isn't that interesting how the cults use music that God created for worship? Then it goes on and says, Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. When you see Isaiah 6, and Isaiah saw God high and lifted up, and around his throne were three angelic beasts shouting, Holy, holy, holy. The one that was missing was Lucifer, who used to be over the throne, above the throne, covering it from the top, leading the worship. But he fell when he sinned. He's the most powerful creature God ever created. We know this because in the book of Jude, when Michael, the archangel, was arguing with Satan over the body of Moses, Michael did not have the authority to rebuke Satan. He had to have God do it. He was the most powerful angel created. This is who you're up against. This is who we have. This is our enemy. He's not some pushover. He's super scary, stinking smart. It says, I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. He was the most majestic creature God ever created. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created. See, he's a created being. And he was perfect until what? Iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. He was the most creative thinking being, most cunning, until he sinned. Verse 17, thine heart was lifted up. Pride was his downfall. Pride is what cost him his position. Pride. The Bible says in Revelation 12:4 that he took one third of the angelic realm with him when he fell. When he rebelled against God, this is after day seven, because on day six, at the end of day six, what did God say about his creation? He saw everything he created and everything was good. Now, how far into day eight and before Satan fell, I don't know. 15 minutes, 20 minutes, I don't know. How long would you make it before you'd sin? I don't know. But I want you to turn over to Isaiah 14. You're dealing with the most powerful being God ever created. There's no one more powerful. He's the most intelligent. There's no one smarter. The most creative. There's no one more beautiful. Look at Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart. Now here are the five I will statements of Satan. The pride statements. The statements where he said in his heart. Remember, in Ezekiel it said, until iniquity was found in your heart. Iniquity is sins of the heart. He hadn't even had a chance to rebel yet. This is what was going on in his heart before he ever rebelled. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying. Now this, of course, is during the millennium. Is this the man that made the earth so to tremble? That did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the houses of the prisoners. So you understand, this is who you're dealing with. He exists. Why? Because God said so. The Bible says so. Peter said so. Jesus said so. He's the most intelligent, the most powerful, the most beautiful, the most creative being God ever created. And even the archangels didn't have the authority to depose him. All of a sudden, you start to understand why the world's going the way it's going. Well, he's not only alive, his main tool is lies. His main tool is misinformation. Take your Bible, go to John 8. His main tool is lies. Look at John chapter 8. Now look, one of the crazy things about Satan is he is a subject matter expert on the human beings. He knows us. He gets us. He understands us. He's a subject matter expert. He really hasn't had to change his tactics. It's the same three traps he's put out there that he put out there for Eve in the garden. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's the same three traps. We all fall in the same way. He's not only alive, he's a liar. Look at John 8 and verse 44. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He says, ye are of your father the devil. He's talking to the Pharisees. And the lusts of your father ye will do. You're never more like the devil than when you allow your fleshly desires to cause you to lie so you can get what you want. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and he is the father of it. You see, I believe in the devil. He's alive. He's a liar. I know his plan. I know his plan. I know how he operates. He uses lies. I want you to take your Bible and I want to see something scary. You want to see something scary? Look at Luke 22 and verse 31. Look at Luke verse 20, chapter 22 and verse 31. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. I know his plan. Look at Luke 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, now this is Jesus. This is the night he's arrested. Verse 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now remember, Peter hasn't denied Jesus yet. But Satan, as we know from Job 1 and 2, makes regular trips to the throne of God to accuse us of sin. And on this trip particularly, Satan has gone before the Heavenly Father and he says, I want to have playtime with Peter. Can I have playtime with Peter? Can I have him? Can I play with him? That's what he did in Job 1 when God said, have you considered my servant Job? You've been out there tricking all these people. Where you been, Satan? And Satan said, I've been walking to and fro in the earth. What do you think he meant? Like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. I've been out there tricking folks. And boy, they've been falling like the thousands out there, turning their back on you and mocking you and denying you. Well, have you considered my servant Job? And he had playtime with Job. This time, it was Satan's idea. How would you like it if Satan went to the throne of God and said, I'd like to have playtime with Michael. Can I have playtime with Michael? Or Eric Bridges. Can I have playtime with Eric Bridges? How would you like that? I'd just assume Satan, I could go my entire life and he not even know I exist and I'd be okay. How about you? Right? Right? I wouldn't feel cheated, to be honest with you. If I went my entire life. I mean, some people have bucket lists. They want to meet the president. They want to meet the queen. My mother always wanted to meet Princess Di. You know, that was on her bucket list. You know, I could probably go. I won't go my entire life. Never meet Satan. I'd be okay. Right? I know his plan. I don't want playtime. I've seen him work. I've seen him work. Take your Bible. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. I see how he does. Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Look what happens. I've seen his work. Verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened, that means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were lost and now you're saved. Where in time past, before you got saved, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Have you ever talked to somebody that you just couldn't reason with? It's kind of like they're on drugs. But really, it's like they're possessed. Among whom we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Satan's primary work in this world is to blind people to the truth of the gospel. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. He uses lies, he uses counterfeits. We're going to see this. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Well, actually, look at 2 Corinthians 4, 3. This is his mode of operation. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Have you ever talked to somebody about the Lord and everything was going fine until you mentioned the J word? You bring up Jesus and it's like their entire countenance shifts. I had a Jehovah's Witness lady come to my door, an older one and a younger one. There's always an older and a younger because they're training the younger ones, they're brainwashing the younger ones because the older ones are already brainwashed. And they'll come to the door, And she said, "We're here to talk about world hunger." I said, "No, you're not. You're here to expand your cult, which was based on a Ponzi scheme. Your founder was a fraud." And I swear to God, her eyes twitched. And then she changed the subject and went, "Well, no, truthfully, we're all here, talking about Jesus." And I said, not my Jesus. Your Jesus is a created being. You think he was Michael the Archangel before the manger?" And her eyes twitched, and she changed the subject again. And I said, "No." She said, no, "Well, we believe in," I said, "No, I believe in the blood of God who died for his creation. You believe we have to die for and work for our salvation." And she twitched again. You got to understand. Have you never talked to somebody who just everything was fine and rosy until you talk about Jesus? And then all of a sudden, everything changes. The God of this world, that's why prayer for them must take place first. The strongholds of false religion, the strongholds of abuse, addiction, neglect, whatever else has to be pulled down in prayer first before you assault the stronghold of unbelief. Satan hinders Christians. In 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Paul says, "I was going to come to you once and again, but Satan hindered us." He has influence over the things of this world. Satan lies to you. I don't know if you realize that or not, but the thoughts you thought you thought may not be, in fact, the thoughts you thought you thought you thought. Remember when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God"? And he goes, "Blessed art you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." What was Jesus saying? "That wasn't your idea. That came from the Holy Spirit." 5 minutes later, Jesus is like, "I'm going down to Jerusalem. They're going to kill me. I'm going to die. And I'm going to rise again." And he's like, "No, you're not. No, you're not." He goes, what does he say to Peter? "Get thee behind me, Satan." Where did that thought come from? He recognized the thought that Peter came into his head and popped out his mouth came from Satan, not God. Sometimes the thoughts that come in your head aren't actually from you. He lies to us. Satan has influence. As you'll see in Job chapter 4, verses 12 through 21, he'll influence us through dreams. In 2 Corinthians 10, he'll influence us through thoughts. He has resources. I don't know if you realize this or not, but Satan's got a lot of money. Satan has access to resources. Didn't know if you knew that or not. Satan has money. He's the God of this world. That's why I always tell you, if when you're making decisions about where you're sending your kid to college, don't make it based solely upon how much scholarships your kid gets. Satan's got tons of money. Find out where God wants your kid to go. Satan also has followers. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He's got followers. 2 Corinthians 11. Chapter number 11 and verse number 13. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." They're passing themselves off as legitimate pastors and preachers. "And no marvel, this shouldn't surprise you, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say unto you, let no man think of me of a fool." Listen to me, it's crazy to think, what? Well, they're so spiritual. Yeah, Satan loves religion. He's created all of them except Christianity. Now, you need to let that sink in for a second. I love you. I have family in other religions. I'm not here being bigoted. I'm telling you. The Bible says 6 times that when you worship a false god, you are worshiping a devil. And their religions are ornate. And they're beautiful. And they have beautiful architecture. And they have beautiful rites, rituals, and ceremonies. And they have all these beautiful icons and all these beautiful things. None of it has anything to do with the blood of Christ. They didn't come from God. A lot of it, and it sounds spiritual because that's the way Satan works. He has followers. Did you know Satan has powers? Take your Bible, go to Acts chapter 8 and verse 9. Acts chapter 8. Satan has power. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And verse 9. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is of the great power of God. He said, no, it's the God of heaven that's empowering me. No, he's bewitching the people. Because Satan will use false miracles. Take your Bible, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. I want you to see this now. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. Paul is saying, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Who is that? Those were the two magicians who worked for Pharaoh. Do you remember the story of Moses? What did Moses do with that stick he walked with? Do you remember, sister? Do you remember? He threw it down, and it became a what? A snake. What did Jannes and Jambres do? They walked up, threw their walking sticks down, and they became snakes. Who do you think did that? Do you think that was God? No, that was Satan. And I thought it was pretty cool that Moses' snake ate theirs. Pretty cool. Thought that was cool. Jannes and Jambres. They were the magicians. When Moses put out his rod over the Nile and the water turned to blood, what did Jannes and Jambres do? They got a bucket of water, you know, hocus pocus, where the mostest, and boom, it turned to blood. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened and didn't believe Moses. Where did that power come from? Satan. The Bible says in Thessalonians that the Antichrist will do miracles. He will call down fire from heaven, and he will be so convincing, if it were possible, even the saved folks, if people that like us would believe he truly was Christ, he'll be so convincing. He'll do miracles. You think that's God doing it? No, it's Satan. He'll use false miracles. And that is why you need to stay away from palm readers and tarot card readers and Ouija boards. You need to stay away from the psychic network. It's false. Well, there's power in that, preacher. Yeah, stupid. Stay away from it. You'll open a door I can't shut. You'll open a door and you'll let something into your life that I can't shut. You'll let Satan have playtime with your family. You'll start a generational curse. How do you think some woman in Trinidad flipping cards can tell you where your wedding ring is? Because Satan's army is organized like an army. He has everything from generals to privates. And they're organized based on region. There's somebody in charge of the U.S. There's somebody in charge of Virginia. There's somebody in charge of Fairfax County. There's somebody in charge of your neighborhood. There's somebody in charge of you. And they never sleep, and they never take a vacation. They speak every language. They travel at the speed of thought, and they communicate with each other. So when she says, well, my angel tells me, yeah, it's not God's angel. It's a false angel. It's a fallen angel. And he ran it up the chain. It came across to the American angel, and it came down to your neighborhood. And he said, oh, yeah, it's in the trap, in the sink trap in the basement. You're fooling with things you cannot understand, and you're messing with things that are opening doors you don't want in your life. That's how Satan does it. It's all tricks, because all of his angels never take a day off. They travel at the speed of thought, and that's why you can't trust your experiences. He uses counterfeits. Take your Bible, go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Actually, let's start in Galatians 6. I'm sorry. Let's start in Galatians 6. I've been asked several times now some very pointed questions regarding why we use a specific version of the Bible and what are my thoughts on that, and I've just kind of held off on that. I'm going to get to it, but I do want you to understand that the devil is into counterfeits, and so he has created a false gospel. Look at what Paul said in Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you are so removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. There are other gospels. What do I mean by that? That means there are other people out there preaching things that sound spiritual. They say it'll take you to heaven. Like you have to believe in Jesus, yes, but you have to work to keep it. Or you got to believe in Jesus, but then you have to have an experience like tongues. Or you have to believe in Jesus, but then you got to get baptized. Or you got to believe in Jesus, but then you got to keep the feasts. There's a whole new group out there called the Hebrew Roots Movement. You got to keep the feasts. You have to do the dietary laws. You don't get to go to heaven if you don't worship on Saturday. Oh, you know how many times a year I get a book in the mail from a church group in this area who says, because we're all going to hell because we don't worship on Saturday. It's another gospel. And the problem is the other gospel creates false Christians. Look at Matthew 13. They're referred to as tares. Matthew 13 and verse 24. Matthew 13 and verse number 24. Now, I know this sounds critical, but I need you to understand. Jesus puts forth another parable unto them in verse 24, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant and the householder came and said, sir, didst thou now sow good seed in thy field? Anyway, when the wheat and the tares were grown up, you couldn't tell them apart. One was a weed, one was a wheat. But when the wheat started to bear fruit, the kernels made it bend down, and the weeds, called the tares, stood straight up in pride. Then you could tell them apart. As he goes on to explain the parables, you'll know them by their fruits, is what Jesus said. You'll know them by their fruits, and they'll be separated at the end. So you have false gospels creating false Christians. And in Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9, you have false churches. He refers to them as the synagogue of Satan. And as you go on into Revelation, you'll find out about the false trinity created by the devil. 2 Corinthians 11:4 says, if they come to you and preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Do you remember, did I tell you about the church over in Maryland that preached that Jesus has come back, but he is now residing in an 84-year-old Korean woman, and she has millions of followers? And she's in a church over in Maryland now, and she's got followers all over the internet now, and he's back. Jesus is back, but he now resides in an 84-year-old Korean woman. Yeah. If any cometh and preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which we have not accepted, ye might bear with him. 2 Corinthians 11:4. Paul said there are people out there preaching false Jesuses, false gospels, false Holy Spirits. See, Satan makes counterfeits. He uses lies. And he does it, he not only lies to us, he tempts us. He's the one that tempts us. He tempts Jesus. And you and I are not immune to it. He also afflicts us for sake of time. You know, in Matthew 4, Jesus was tempted. You're going to be tempted. In 2 Corinthians 12, he afflicts us. In Acts 13, he perverts righteousness. In Isaiah 5, he vilifies righteousness. He calls good evil and evil good. He accuses God. Revelation 12:10. He accuses us to God. He tattles on you. But there is coming a day when he's going to get his. There's coming a day when he is going to be deposed. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation 20. When he starts reminding you and guilting you about the mistakes of your past, you need to stop and remind him of his future. Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more. So what has he been doing all this time? Deceiving the nations till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Revelation 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So how do you deal with the devil? Well, number one, you got to understand, he already knows. He's already been tried, found guilty, and sentence has not been carried out yet. But he knows. He's on borrowed time. He knows. So if he reminds you of your past mistakes, remind him of his future. Number two, remember, you're on the winning side. We know from Job 1 and 2 that Satan is on a short leash. Nothing happens to you that God is unaware of. Do you understand that? Nothing happened to Job that God did not allow for God's glory and for Job's good. You're on the winning side. John, 1 John 4, 4, year of God, little children, have overcome them. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater. The Holy Spirit is greater that lives in you than is greater than Satan himself. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Well, why am I having to go through this? Why did I have cancer? Why am I having these problems? Why am I having to go through this? Look at 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians 12, 8. For this thing I besought the Lord. This is Paul. This is the Apostle Paul. Probably the greatest Christian to ever live. For this thing I besought the Lord. He had an eye disease that made him look hideous to look at. It disfigured him. For this illness, I besought the Lord thrice. I prayed and fasted 3 times, is what he's saying, that it might depart from me. He'd heal. God would use him to lay hands on people and they'd be healed. He would pray over a napkin and send the napkin to somebody and they'd put the napkin on Aunt Helen's whatever and she'd be healed. But he prayed and fasted 3 times. God, can't you take this away from me? And look what God says. My grace is sufficient for thee. No, Paul. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Yes, I could, but I'm not going to heal you, Paul. I'm going to give you grace. Because every day you get up and do the work I called you to do, my power is manifested and everybody sees it and knows it's not you. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessity. And he goes on and lists them. So, brothers and sisters, you understand. When you're reminded of your past, remind him of his future. Number two, remember, every time, whatever it is you're going through, God knows. And he's going to use it for your good and his glory. Number three, you need to put on the whole armor of God. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood. But God gave us tools. In Ephesians 6, it says that we have the tools to withstand the devil. Look at it, Ephesians chapter 6. Now, we're not trying to fight him and win. We're just there to resist him. Look at Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Your power is not in you, but in him. And in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, this is not a conventional war. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, in Ephesians 4:26, he talks about that little phrase that says, neither give thee place, look at that, neither give place to the devil. Recognizing we're not to give the devil an inch in our life, but always be alert that he's trying to get worm his way in. You can't lose your salvation. He can't possess you, but he can mess with you. But we're to resist him. How do we resist him? The same way Jesus did. Do you remember Matthew 4? He goes into the wilderness. Jesus, and of course, remember, Satan will attack you in two times, when you're at your lowest point or when you're at your highest. He will attack you when Jesus fasted for 40 days. He was hungry. And we know that there are four basic triggers. There's hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. When you are one of those four, you are big time susceptible, especially if there's two of them. If you're lonely and tired, if you're angry and alone, these are bad things. You are susceptible, all right? Well, Jesus was alone, and he was hungry, and he was tired. And Satan attacked him. But what did Jesus do? Satan used the word on him, the word of God. And Jesus took the word of God he had memorized and fed it right back to him. Remember, he said, turn this bread and put any stones into bread. You're the word made flesh. He goes, man shall not live by bread alone. See, every time Jesus was using the word of God that he had memorized, you and I are to do the same thing. As we read the Bible, God is going to give you scriptures to remember. Some of them, whatever it is that you're dealing with, whether it's anger, whether it's bitterness, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's disappointment, whether it's an addiction, whether it's whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life, God will give you scriptures, whether it's depression or anxiety, whether it's whatever it is, you need to memorize those scriptures, because when those things start to attack, Jesus would quote those and remember the promises God gave him and put his faith in that. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse that way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Look, Satan's alive, but he's a liar. Now we know. He's also a loser. We have the tools. We have the Holy Spirit inside us. We have the word of God in front of us. The question is, are we going to choose to put the armor on? Are we going to submit to the Holy Spirit? See, the devil offers all the fun up front and then a life of misery to pay for it. Where God says, trust me, and the blessings will come for eternity. Question is, who are we going to listen to? Sometimes it seems easier to just follow our flesh, because the devil will use the shiny things of the world to excite our flesh. We need to stop. We need to ask ourselves, and then, you know, what's going on here? And then pray and say, Lord, is this from you? And then look to the scriptures and say, God, show me a verse that deals with this. And find your truth. Find the truth of God right here. Because that's what Jesus did when he withstood the devil. Oh, he's alive. I believe in him. I've seen him. Or I've seen his tactics. I've seen his workings. And I believe the Bible says said it, so it's true. He's alive. He's a liar. But I also know he's a loser, and his day's coming. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I believe he exists. I believe he hangs out real close to us. But there's only one of him. He has an army. I believe he's active on the planet today. Our Heavenly Father, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. That's what the Scripture says, and I believe it. Now, I'm thankful, Father, for the promises that we overcome through the power of the name of Christ and through the Word of God. Today, Father, we look to you for strength. There are things in our life that just doesn't make any sense. And, Father, today, our society has gone completely away from you. And, Father, now we recognize where the lies have come from that they've embraced. And Father, today we recognize the only answer is the gospel. Father, this holiday season, we're going to be spending time with people who don't know you, who don't have the hope we do. Father, give us the courage to share our salvation testimony. The only hope for this lost world who are blind is the gospel. In the next few moments, Father, as we pray, would you please bring to mind someone in our life that needs the gospel? Bring to mind someone who needs us to pray for them and then have the courage to share our hope with them, our hope in Christ. And Father, let us not be fearful, but have the boldness and the love to share it. And God, may you use this for your glory and our good. Father, whatever burdens are on the hearts of people tonight, you'd address them as they pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play and sing, the altar's open. Won't you take a minute and pray? If you died tonight and you're not sure you'd wake up in heaven, you can nail that down tonight. You can have the assurance of everlasting life. You can know for sure if you'll just step forward.
Yes, amen.
Praise him for the wonders of his love. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Amen.
Praise him. Praise.
Father and our God, we praise you. Thank you for the wonder of your love. Thank you, God, for you could love a sinner like me. Thank you, Father, for empowering us to walk with you, to resist the devil, and, Father, to stand to the temptations that come. Help us, God, as your people. Glorify yourself in us. Use us for your glory as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, man. Look this way.